Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Tuesday morning as we brace for a winter storm that's going to roll through in the next couple hours. The New York Knicks, they did it. They broke a franchise record for consecutive losses as they do lose to the Cleveland Cavaliers last night. 17 in a row for the New York Knicks. Some NFL news out there. Kyler Murray decides that he is going to enter the draft and fully commit himself to being an NFL quarterback. And the Browns go and sign Kareem Hunt, which, of course, is going to generate a lot of discussion. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
You know, I'm doing all right, Gio. And you know what? I am firmly in the column for one Kevin Knox, because I like what Kevin Knox is saying. I like the way Kevin Knox has been playing. And I like the fact that the Knicks lost 17 in a row. It's like a weird feeling, you know, like you're watching your team. You want them to play hard. You don't want them to be satisfied with losing. And you certainly don't want the players to be happy with the way the fans are reacting. They hear it. They see social media. They know what the hell we're talking about. And they lose 17 in a row. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. It's hard. And really, if you are Kevin Knox or anybody for that matter on this basketball team that may be here next year, remember these lean times. Remember how embarrassing it is. And remember how it feels to set an awful record. And I for one, while I'm sitting there watching this, saying to myself, okay, they're trying, everything's fine. It's not going to go the way that we want it to go. At the end of the day, they're going to lose. But it's just the way the NBA is. And I don't know what Adam Silver or anybody else can do about this. I really don't. I mean,
they did fix the lottery in a way.
There's really nothing. I mean, you have half the league that is basically just nothing.
Well, there's no reason to be in the middle. That's why. I mean, even with the new draft lottery stuff, you don't want to be in that NBA purgatory where you're just sort of the six or seven seed and then get wiped out with one of these other teams.
It's awful. It's living through it is awful. And I would imagine playing through it for players like Kevin Knox in his rookie year, who basically came out and said, yeah, I hear the fans. I hear it. You know, I don't like it. And I don't blame him for not liking it. I wouldn't like it either. I mean, but it is what it has to be if you want to be a Knick fan and you want to be good in the years to come.
Yeah, he has to understand that fans want to see this because they want to see the team win down the road. They believe that this is the best path to do so. And now, with an opportunity to get the number one pick, the best opportunity, one of three teams with the highest percentage to get it, and two max free agents, you got exactly what you wanted. So it's not like Knick fans always want to see the team lose. They just know that you have to go through something like this to be able to get to where you want to be. So just, I mean, you deal with it. Season will be over in a couple of months, and that'll be that, and we'll forget about it, and we'll turn our attention to everything else. And as far as Knicks fans would say, yeah, I get the whole tanking thing, but this is really bad and really disturbing, and they don't play any defense. Yeah, they don't. I mean, it's awful, but it's not going to mean anything.
Yeah, I don't think it's an, it's not.
There's no lingering effect here.
It's not, to me, it's not an indictment on Fizdale either. He's just basically the babysitter getting through this and trying to say the right things after the games and just trying to, you know, talk to, I really don't know what he's saying, but whatever it is, it's not easy.
Remember how bad the Celtics were before they had their big three and the fans showing up with paper bags over their heads and Doc Rivers was the coach? Remember how bad the Cavaliers were before LeBron came back and before he was even drafted the first time? Well, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's not like there's some big carryover because of these tank seasons. If you get superstar players in place, things change immediately. And that's one really good thing about the NBA system is it's not like, you know, might take a month or two to get a couple of guys who haven't played together to get on the same page. You saw that with the Warriors when Durant came over. They weren't great right away, but by the end of the season, they were. So, I mean, this is,
It stinks right now. The players don't like it. The fans have nothing to watch. Even the ones that root against the Knicks have nothing to watch because it's really, really bad basketball. But we're really close to something special. Now, I can't guarantee that it's going to work out, but you're closer than you ever were as a Knicks fan to something really, really special happening with the team. You just got to hope that the right guys want to be a part of it. And I also don't believe that what's going on here now is a signal to any potential free agents that things aren't going to be good here in the future. So this really, in my opinion, has zero carryover, zero lingering effect, as pathetic as it is. Because, yeah, it is supremely pathetic how bad they are.
Pathetic would have been losing 107-80 last night.
Okay.
Not 107-104.
That's one of the worst teams in the NBA.
I understand that. And it's on the road and all that other stuff. Whatever happens in the NBA on the road happens on the road. I get it. I just think that, you know, for guys like Kevin Knox, this is invaluable moments on the basketball court, learning about the NBA, learning about whether or not you belong, and just continuing to work on your game. And hopefully the Knicks coaching staff is doing that. Hopefully the Knicks coaching staff is taking the Dennis Smith Juniors and the Neil Akinas and the Robinsons of the world and working with them behind the scenes and making sure that they are ready to go next year, because this has got to leave just a horrendous taste in your mouth. It has to. If you're an athlete, if you're here and you're a part of it, then you have got to at least try to get something out of it. And what the something is the thought that, you know, this is never going to happen again. And when we get reinforcements next year, and that's up to Perry, that's up to Fizdale, and that's up to Mills. They're the ones that have to go out and get the reinforcements. They're going to have to get the high draft pick. And they're going to have to build a team relatively quickly, because I don't think the Knicks fan is going to stand for this next year. They are not.
Oh, of course not.
The Knicks fan understands, the smart Knicks fan understands what's going on right now. And we all get it. We all understand that if Zion Williamson happens to be the number one overall pick next year and the Knicks have that pick, then all things change. This abyss that we're in right now all of a sudden changes. It's like 1984, 85 all over again.
Yeah, I do think that the top three, because there are those three guys at Duke, and there's also that Ja Morant, who is someone that a lot of people are looking at as a top pick. I mean, Zion, of course, is far and away the prize right now. But even if the Knicks ended up with the second overall pick or the third overall pick, then that's pretty damn good, because they haven't been there in a while either. So it's not as if they still can't get a great basketball player at two or three, which is where you want to be as well. So this is exactly what they didn't want to do for years and years and years that sent them into this quagmire that they have been in. They're finally doing it. You gotta suck it up. And really, basically, it's just this one year of supreme ineptitude to get there. And here we are. We're just a couple months away.
This goes back to when they had to give Amari Stoudemire the big contract. And they went all in on Amari Stoudemire when, you know, they knew he only had 2 out of the 5 years or 6 years that they gave him. And then came the idiotic trade for Carmelo, you know, and then D'Antonio was gone. And, you know, and next thing you know is decision after decision after decision that led to where we are today. Now, the good thing is that, you know, we passed the trading deadline and the Knicks didn't do anything stupid.
Sure.
You know, they recognize that they have their eye on the immediate future, and the immediate future is going to be this draft and the lottery, and then after that comes the free agency period. So this is the price you pay for trying to be good in the NBA. You have to be crappy before you can get good, unless, of course, you hit on diamonds in a rough that come in late in the first round and early in the second round and players like that, which has not been the case for the Knicks. So it really comes down to whether or not they get that first or second overall pick.
Yeah, I mean, and you want to get one of the first two. I mean, if it's the third, it's not that bad. I mean, if it's the fifth, then yeah, that's annoying. I mean, and that's the odds, as we've said now for weeks, that the best odds are them getting the fifth pick as far as any individual pick. And yeah, that would be frustrating. And people say, oh, well, what'd you do this for if you just got the fifth pick? Well, what you did it for was you gave yourself an opportunity, the best opportunity, to get the number one overall pick. It didn't work out. You had bad draft lottery luck, but you still created enough room for the signing of two max free agents.
I mean, it all comes in pieces, right? So you build a roster this year knowing that, you know, you're going to have to try to shed some salary. you actually go through the first half of the year, you see what you have, you find out whether or not your unicorn wants to be here and how much money he wants, is he around the team, does he like the team, and all that stuff. You make a quick trade. You get two first-round draft picks back, you get rid of two ugly contracts, plus the potential for an ugly contract with Porzingis. So it's really three contracts you got rid of. And now all of a sudden you've set yourself up for next year. Now, whether or not they win the lottery, that's just part of it. That's just part of it. That's sure. Not the whole thing. The whole thing isn't built around the lottery.
Right.
Hopefully they will get the one of the first top two picks, because I think there's two top two players there that you could use in a big way to recruit also.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't get the first pick, then it really becomes, really important for, you know, Perry and Mills to do what they have to do, and that is start to convince some of these players to come here and rebuild this entire franchise.
Right. It's not as if this team doesn't have cap space and their entire future is based on whether or not the ping pong balls go the right way. That's not what's going on. I mean, it's an added bonus. It's an added bonus if you get the first or second pick. And any Knicks fan that actually thought this season was going to be anywhere near competitive or they were not going to be this bad is totally delusional. I mean, we've been talking about this for months. And I remember going into the year saying this is going to be the worst season ever.
Yes.
As soon as Porzingis went down, we knew exactly what was going to happen. They are not capable of being any better than this. And now
they're doing the right thing.
Right. And now since they traded away guys that were halfway competent in Tim Hardaway Jr. and Courtney Lee, and obviously Porzingis hasn't played this year, but I mean, they were going to be even worse.
And by the way, Courtney Lee and Tim Hardaway Jr., they understand what went on, and I appreciate that. Let's go to Russell in Florida. Russell, what's happening?
Yeah, hi, Boomer. Hi, Gio.
Hey, good morning. What's going on, Russell?
Yeah, listen, I think there's something that can be done that Adam Silver should do starting next year that would solve the whole problem of this tanking and all this absurdity and trading away some of your best players as free agents and all that. The best thing to do is just turn the system around. Are you still there?
Yeah, yes. We're here. Go ahead, Russ.
Okay, thanks. Turn the system around so that the teams that don't make the playoffs are ranked, you know, there's a line below the playoff teams, just like there is in the Premier League and in the soccer leagues. And below that line, the teams fight to do as well as they can. And that's exactly what should be happening this year. The Knicks should be fighting to get in the top three below the line of playoff teams and therefore get the best pick. Throw away the ping pong balls, get rid of all that garbage and the uncertainty, and play the second half of the season for your draft picks. As Gio just said, draft picks are one thing. They're not free agency. They're not spending money. You can do all kinds of other things, but draft picks should go to the best teams below the line, not the worst teams below the line, and that would end all of this absurdity and agony that goes on for months and months.
Yeah, I guess that if you want to look at it like it's agony, I mean, I don't believe it's agony, especially for
the
Knicks, because they still sell out.
How long did you watch the game last night?
Until I fell asleep. So you figure, I don't know, I was like midway through the second quarter. I mean, that's all I watched.
I have to tell you, I was flipping back and forth between that and the dog show.
So. Oh, yeah, there was a great bulldog on there.
Yeah,
that,
no,
so.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so. Awesome. No, not the one through the obstacle course, like one that was being shown.
No, big, I know. It was a big fat bulldog.
Big old fat bulldog.
Yeah,
I was laughing
perfect.
My ass off.
I was thinking of you, too, when
a
I saw him.
Perfect bulldog.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, of course. I mean, I watched for like a quarter and a half. I mean, and that's probably the most I've watched them in, I don't know, the last five games. Just new because there's not as much going on. So it's like, see what's going on with the Knicks. I mean, in agony, you know, if it really comes down to how you process this, you know, and what you expected. If you're in agony over this, then you're nuts, because that means that you didn't expect this to happen. But, you know, as far as the idea of the best team then getting the pick, then that goes of the teams that don't make the playoffs, and that goes against the competitive balance and the rebuild nature of it. I mean, they did change this lottery in a way where the first worst team doesn't end up with a lock of getting the first overall pick, and it still has not prevented teams from doing this. I mean, teams are still going to be bad. You know, at this point, I don't even know if David Fizdale, he knows he's going to be in a top three at this point. I don't think he wants to lose this many in a row. He probably looked at last night as a nice opportunity to go and get a win against the Cavaliers,
yeah,
who were terrible. So it'll be over soon enough, And we'll be talking about a brand new franchise and brand new players and high expectations and all that good stuff. Mark's next on the Fan. What's going on, Mark?
Yeah, hey, good morning. Just my idea for the tanking was to get a top five pick, you have to win at least 20 games. So the teams would go 1-5, equal chance of getting picks 1-5. And then if you won below 20 games, you would then get picks 6, 7, and 8. So that would assure that the teams would try to win. 20 games seems like a regular fair amount.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is, Mark, the guys on the court are trying to win, believe it or not.
You know, they don't care.
They don't care. I mean, you know, the coach. I think the coach may care, but he may do things by, you know, sitting in his canner for 2 weeks because he's a pain in the ass and he's afraid that he's going to go out there and have a double-double and they win.
Right.
I can understand that, but the players are out there trying to win. They're just not good enough to win. That's all.
Yeah. Right. I mean, Enes Kanter's still without a team. Right. I mean, a guy who was so good that the Knicks had to play him gets waived. Anybody could sign the guy, and still nobody's picked him up. So, I mean, it's not like this guy was Patrick Ewing. They were sitting on the bench in his prime.
Right.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.